following is a recording for Juan Carlos Gomez-Stolk from iAdvise on Thursday, July 23rd, 2015 at 9 a.m. Central. Buenos días, second quarter 2015. Good morning, and welcome to Unifin's second quarter 2015 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Juan Carlos Gomez-Stolk of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm very pleased to welcome you to Unifin Financiera's second earnings call. This morning, the senior management team of Unifin will discuss the company's second quarter 2015 consolidated results for the press release distributed yesterday. If you have not yet received a copy of the earnings release, please contact the investor relations team at Unifin or iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3692, and we will send you a copy immediately. For those joining us for the first time, Unifin is a Mexican non-banking financial service provider. The company began operations in 1993, and after 22 years providing services, it has become the leading independent provider of leasing services in Mexico and Latin America. Unifin's main product is operating leasing, which comprises over 90% of its revenues. The company also offers factoring services since 2006 and has a small participation in the auto loans market. Unifin's clients are primarily medium and small businesses across industries in Mexico who use Unifin as an alternative to finance their working capital needs to acquire technology, equipment, and transportation. Unifin provides services to different economic sectors, including mining, commerce, electricity, transportation, energy-related services, construction, capital goods, and medical equipment. Today, Unifin has a well-diversified portfolio of more than 3,500 clients, of which the largest client represents only 1.7% of its total portfolio. Throughout the past 3 years, Unifin has shown consistent growth in its net income and assets, being one of the fastest growing companies in the Mexican financial system. Notwithstanding this rapid growth, they have based their strategy on three main pillars. One, being good originators. Two, being good portfolio managers to keep their business thriving. And three, generating profits based on a sound financial position. During this call, management's comments may include forward-looking statements which are subject to various conditions that may differ materially. We ask that you refer to this disclaimer in the press release as guidance on these matters. Joining us today from Mexico City are Mr. Jose Maria Muñiz, Chief Institutional Relations Officer, Mr. Gerardo Mier Iterán, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. David Perna, Investor Relations Officer. I will now turn the call over to Jose Maria Muñiz, Chief Institutional Relations Officer of Unifin, who will give the company's presentation. Please, go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Juan Carlos. Good morning to everyone. Thank you for joining us for Unifin's second conference call, in which we will review our performance for the second quarter and 6 month period ended June 30th, 2015. First, I would like to provide an overview of our current and recent IPO. Then I will present the main operating highlights of the quarter, and I will finish with a high-level overview of our financial results. Then we will open the conversation to answer your questions. During the second quarter 2015, Unifin achieved one of its most important milestones as it became a publicly traded company. On May 22nd, our stock began trading on the Mexican Bolsa under the ticker symbol Unifin A at a price of 28 pesos per share, resulting in a market capitalization of 11,618 million pesos. We successfully placed our offering with high-quality Mexican and international institution investors, as well as with a broad base of retail investors. We are very pleased with the results of the IPO. It was 7 times oversubscribed, and by the end of the second quarter, Unifin's price had already achieved 32.93 pesos per share, an 18% price increase over the IPO price just over a month later. As discussed during the roadshow, Our plan is to use the net proceeds of the IPO to strengthen Unifin's capitalization, finance working capital, consolidate our current operations, and secure a long-term growth plan. The IPO was a decisive step in our path up to strengthen our capital structure and support our future growth plans. Following the successful placement of a $400 million international bond issuance that took place in July 2014, the results of both the IPO and the bond issuance demonstrated the solid trust of the financial markets in Unifin. Upon the capitalization of Unifin with the proceeds from the IPO, the rating agencies Standard & Poor's and Fitch upgraded Unifin's one notch based on the company's positive trend of healthy portfolio growth and enhancement of its capital structure. Specifically, Standard & Poor's upgraded Unifin on a global scale rating to BB and on a national scale to MXA Perspective Stable and MXA-2. Fitch Ratings upgraded the company to BB on a global scale for foreign and local currency long-term IDRs, and A ratings on the national scale for long-term IDRs also. In addition, H&R Ratings granted Unifin a BB+ rating for the 144A Reg S bond listed in Luxembourg last year. Now let us discuss our results for the second quarter of 2015. During this period, Unifin continued to grow its leasing portfolio at a historical pace, maintaining the quality of its assets. Our sales teams throughout Mexico continue to generate new business in various fast-growing states such as Mérida, Puebla, and in the near future, we will open the office in Veracruz. I will now discuss our revenue composition. During the second quarter of 2015, total revenues grew to almost 1,500 million pesos, a 28% increase compared to the same period of 2014. Our revenues are mainly composed of operating lease income, interest income primarily derived from factoring, auto, and other loans portfolio, and other lease benefits. Our financial margin was 387 million pesos, equal to 26% of total revenues. On a six-month basis, total revenues increased 39% from 2,135 million pesos in the first half of 2014 to 2,973 million pesos during the second half of 2015. The financial margin achieved in the first 6 months of 2015 was 771 million pesos, equal to 26% of total revenue. Now let's talk about our efficiency ratios. We also achieved efficiencies in our expenses during the second quarter. Our efficiency ratio, understood as operating expenses as a percentage of financial margin plus net commissions, improved from 48% in the second quarter of 2014 to 42% in the second quarter of 2015, and 47% during the first 6 months of 2014 to 39% during the same period of 2015. This was the result of Unifin maintaining a constant level of administrative and promotional expenses relative to an increasing total income. Now moving to operational performance, we increased our operating income from 227 million pesos in the second quarter of 2014 to 331 million pesos in the second quarter of 2015. A 46% increase. This includes the impact of the mark-to-market valuation of our cross-currency swaps, On a six-month basis, operating income was 826 million pesos during the first half of 2015, 129% increase compared within the first half of 2014. During the second quarter of 2015, Unifin reported a net income of 237 million pesos, an increase of 43.5% when compared to the second quarter of last year, explained by our increases in our total revenues and a non-operational factors that include the mark-to-market valuation of the cross-currency swap. For the first half of this year, net income increased 141%, reaching 595 million pesos. Excluding the impact of financial gains from mark-to-market valuation of our cross-currency swap, our net income improved from 207 million pesos to 363 million pesos on a six-month basis, a 75% increase. Our total loan portfolio at the end of the first half of 2015 reached 14,479 million pesos, a 48% increase compared to the 9,759 million pesos in the first half of 2014, including, of course, off-balance sheet accounts which comprise future rentals of the company's operating lease portfolio. We continue to identify additional clients based on our marketing intelligence efforts. Our total loan portfolio has consistently grown as we maintain a high-quality portfolio with a notorious sound financial health. Consequently, our non-performing loan ratio has declined from a 0.61% ratio of the first quarter to 0.57% at the end of June 2015. In terms of liquidity, the company ended the first half of 2015 with 1,048 million pesos of available cash and equivalents and approximately 7,600 million pesos of available facility. At the close of June 2015, non-bank debt represented 10,900 million pesos, which include our leasing ABSs, non-recourse to Unifin, and the 144A Reg S bond issued last year. The total bank debt was 2,700 million pesos. Excuse me. Total net debt position resulted in a financial leverage ratio calculated as financial liabilities excluding the securitizations because they are non-recourse to Unifin over shareholders' equity. This registered 2.2 times, which is mainly attributed to the new capitalization as a result of the proceeds from the IPO. In summary, Unifin has continued to grow as a leader, maintaining its commitment with all stakeholders to deliver strong results, creating value to the market, and our increasing client portfolio with sound financial health. At this moment, this will conclude the presentation. I will thank all of you for your attention at this point, and we can move on to your questions. Operator, please proceed to the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for your questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 now. And we now have our first question coming from Jamie Nicholson from Credit Suisse.
Hi, thanks so much for the call. I'm wondering if you can update us on what you're expecting for revenue growth this year now that you have the proceeds of the IPO, and then also if there are any particular industry sectors where you see especially strong growth or vice versa weaker growth. What sectors do you think you'll be targeting this year? Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. To answer your questions, I will start by saying that we will continue with our historical pace regarding the growth of our revenues. I would not give a guidance at this point in time regarding how we would close for the end of the year. Regarding the sectors, I think as we've been doing for the last 22 years, Unifin wants to have a very well-diversified portfolio of clients. So we would not concentrate specifically in any sector.
Okay, so basically it sounds like kind of continued growth in all the sectors that you've historically been involved in. Do you see like generally a solid outlook for the business?
Yes, the answer would be yes.
Okay, thanks, and congratulations on the good performance.
Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Marcus Binar from Neuberger Berman.
Hey guys, thanks for the call. I just had a question on the net financial margin, which actually had very kind of low growth in comparing second quarter 2014 to second quarter 2015, and you know, in part, a very big rise in depreciation. Can you just kind of walk me through why the net financial margin wouldn't have increased kind of more in line with originations and the growth in the portfolio?
Thank you, Marco. Yes. Well, first of all, we have continued to maintain the same spread in all our products. We have not increased any of the rates that we charge to the product. So we have maintained the same kind of margin, if you want me, I can go back with you with your question and remember that last quarter, in the quarter 2014, we had a reverse reserve made for that non-performing loan of Urbi.
Sure.
That in January, that you know, in
June,
in June last year, that made the margin to grow higher.
Sure.
So for us, the margin that we are getting right now, it's a good margin, and it's stable according to what we were expecting.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marco.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Fred DeMaris from UBS.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity. Just one question on the expansion plan, and if you could give us an update on the branch openings and what you're seeing in terms of growth, you know, from the new branches for this year and next year. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. Listen, this year we will open a new regional office in Veracruz. We are planning on opening a second new regional office in the Bajío area, which is the center part of the country. We are not sure at this point in time if we would open a third regional office in the area of Tabasco and Ciudad del Carmen due to the possibility of increasing businesses due to the energy plan for the country. So to be very clear, at least we're going to be opening two more regional offices this year, Bajío and Veracruz. The other one is something that we're studying, and we're not sure if we're going to do that.
That's great. That's very clear. And so just to remind us, how many locations do you have right now? Is it 15?
Sure. No, we have eight offices, eight regional offices, and our main office here in Mexico City. The offices are in Monterrey, Chihuahua, Hermosillo, Guadalajara, Puebla, Querétaro, Cancun, and Mérida.
Okay. And so if you're adding two new branches to the eight existing ones, is it fair to say that we should be thinking of an extra 15 to 20% growth on a full-year basis?
I would not be that futuristic. First of all, I want to make clear to everybody that these are sales offices. These are not branches. These are just sales offices that we place in those regions. And personnel usually fluctuates between 5 to 7 people there. The increase that these operations will do for 2016, it would probably increase around 10%.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Victor Chavez from Credit Suisse.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Good morning, Jose. Just a follow-up here. In our view, we were expecting some acceleration, and we are still expecting some acceleration in the upcoming quarters as the proceeds of the IPO are fully deployed, mainly in regard to origination of leases. But my question would be much more in regard to the ability of Unifin to sustain very efficient figures going forward in terms of operational expenses, as you posted in second Q and also in previous quarters. So do you expect these potential expansion of the portfolio to be followed by increasing expenses, or should we expect the operational expenses to remain as a positive highlight over the next results? Thanks.
Thank you, Victor. No, I would say that we would remain with the same pace that we are doing right now. Remember that even though we are expanding our presence in different states, these offices are very low cost. So we would not expect an increase in expenses in that area. It would be very marginal. However, the increase of origination also requires that the credit areas and the sales areas will probably we can expect an increase there. But it would not be representative for these efficiency ratios. So because we are going to do more with the same teams that we have, except for the promotional or sales office teams.
Great, thank you.
Thank you, Victor.
Thank you. We now have a follow-up question coming from Marcos Pinar from Neuberger Berman.
Hey guys, thanks again. Just on the mark-to-market gain, there is a gain in the income statement that you highlighted. Is there any below-the-line expense, or where do I pick up the offsetting expense for that? It's a non-cash gain, yeah?
It is a non-cash gain, Marco. Yeah. Remember that this is due to the mark-to-market valuation of the cross-currency swap. And eventually, through time, these would end up being zero. So that's why since last conference, we wanted to be very, very clear, so crystal clear that everyone understands that these gains are non-operational. These mm-hmm. are due to these valuations that each quarter we're going to be reporting to the investors. However, what we think is that the valuation of these cross-currency swaps have two main variables in it. One, the exchange rate, and the other is the interest rate. So we believe that if the peso appreciates, those gains will probably reduce in amount. And it can come through time that at the end of the five-year term of this cross-currency swap, the valuation of those mark-to-markets will be zero at the end. So there is no expense there.
Okay. All right, great. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. Our next question comes from Nick Dimitrov from Morgan Stanley.
Hi there. Quick question. Can you give us some color on the targeted capitalization? I saw that the equity to assets ratio improved dramatically over a year from about 12% a year ago to 20% post-IPO. But where do you see capitalization going in the imminent future considering the growth rates, and what is the targeted capitalization? Thank you.
We believe that, thank you, Nick, first of all. We believe that our capitalization ratio will probably be around mid-teens. So between 14, 15, that would be a place that we would really like to be. So we are looking forward to that, to maintain a capitalization index around those figures.
And I assume this targeted capitalization of 14 to 15% basically means
yes.
that you're going to keep your current rating, right? Post the upgrades from the rating agencies. Am I correct to assume that?
Yes, you are correct to assume that. And also, with all the profits that we are going to make, that we're expecting to make, we're pretty sure that we could sustain those figures.
Excellent. And maybe just, you know, the same question regarding total leverage and financial leverage. Where do you see, or what's your targeted total and financial leverage?
Okay, Nick. Well, in leverage, as a financial company, we are able to get our leverage ratio close to 7. So our target is for us to maintain something right where we are and something in the middle, around 4, 4.5 times. That would be something that we would be very comfortable with, and that's what we've been doing historically, our financial leverage ratio.
Okay, great. Thank you, and congratulations on the results.
Thank you, Nick, once again.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Our next question comes from Martin Lara from Actinver Securities.
Hi, good morning. Where do you see the growth of the loan portfolio in the next few quarters? Do you think that we should work with something around 50%, or do you expect an acceleration in that figure?
Thank you, Martin. I believe that we're going to continue for this year with the same rate that we've been growing for the last couple of years. If you ask me about 2016, that's something that I would not give guidance right now, but we believe that we will continue with a very good growing pace.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Martin.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Kathy Collins from Aberdeen Asset Management.
Hi. Sorry, my question was literally just that last question that was just answered on the loan portfolio growth. So thank you very much for the call, and I'm good.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you.
Nice hearing from you.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phones now. And at this time, I'm showing no further questions in the queue. I'd now like to turn the call back over to Mr. Jose Maria Muniz for closing remarks.
Thank you, operator, and thank you all for your trust and interest in Unifin and participating in our conference call. We look forward to continuing to getting to know you, and in case you have additional questions or any additional need for information, please don't hesitate to contact us. Our management team is here to answer all your questions, and we look forward to hearing from you. Have a very good day. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your participation on today's call. This concludes the teleconference. You may now disconnect.